Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Creep Dive Main.
This is the main episode. We are the Creep Dive. I am Jen, O-D-W-Y-E, or one of your three hosts. Over there you'll find Sophie White, formerly known as Sophie Linehan. She's a best-selling author. And over there in the far distance, that's Cassie Delaney. There was once a time when she was voted the most best under 30 in Ireland.
It's actually twice. And it was so many years ago now.
But just here recently, you've been voted the most exciting CEO.
The most influential CEO in Ireland for content production. As voted by CEO Monthly Magazine. There
and
you go.
We are a podcast where we're going to talk about strange, weird and wonderfuls. Today.
All right. Okay. We get straight into it today. We don't have any more creeps of the week to update people on.
I have a bit of one.
Oh, go on.
I know it's annoying. Sorry.
No, it's not.
I received a little Instagram post right up our alley about a teacher. Now, I didn't ask for permission to say who this person was, so I'm not going to name names. But I do have an Irish Times article from slowly it loads. Still not loading. So the headline is, while it's loading, teacher who taught about serial killer sacked.
Oh no.
No, that is so something that would happen to one of us.
Isn't
so
it?
So relatable.
The teacher is a creep. The teacher must be a creep.
And I'm teaching a class later tonight and it could very well come up.
Now, hang on. I still can't get into this bloody article. Here it is. So it's from way back in 2002. A primary school teacher was sacked from his post in a Kildare school. This is a ruling about his dismissal. Was not dismissed unfairly. So will I name names? The name of the school? I mean, it's in the paper.
It's in the paper.
So Gerard Moore of Lakeside Park in Naas took the case against Holy Child National School in Ballycane to court after he lost an employment appeal case on the matter last year. So the story goes that he was doing a bit on Dahmer.
I was about to get
my
Dahmer.
God. In primary school.
In primary school. So
there once was a man called Dahmer. Like, how do you do that?
So I'll tell you now. So he said
there
in his evidence.
There once was a man called Dahmer. And he died with something up his hole in the slammer.
Yeah.
He said he did it. He did a project with 8-year-olds about the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's That's insane.
8 year olds.
So that's not a passing reference. That is digging in.
And obviously they were like, well, why? Why, Mr. Moore, did you decide to do
and
this?
8 year olds is first class or second class.
Oh, it's very young.
Yeah.
And he said, to explain why he had done it, one of the pupils asked him to explain what cereal meant. It was 1992, and at the time of the project, there were no complaints.
Oh,
and he was
my.
Dismissed in August 1999 after a lengthy dispute with the school board of management. And in his ruling, the judge, Judge Joseph Matthews, said the decision that the dismissal was fair was not about Mr. Moore's competence, but the fact that the working relationship, blah, blah, blah. But one, a creep of the show,
yeah.
DM'd this week to say, we had been talking about Dahmer, as we always are.
Yeah, and she's never
she had this, yeah, she had this kind of faraway memory pop into her head. And the memory was of getting taught by this teacher.
Shut
in oh, the class.
No way.
And she remembers. Oh, she remembers being freaked out by him, the teacher.
And look where she ended up.
And look where she is now in our bosom.
We should thank him. Molding the minds of tomorrow and prepping them for liking us.
Yes.
Listen, speaking of Dahmer and how he simply is never far from our minds, I was trying on glasses for my new prescription yesterday, and I was sending videos of the prospective glasses to one of my group chats, and here now I'm sitting at a desk with my glasses consultant. Hi, Alex from Specsavers on Dawson Street. You provided excellent service. Thank you so much. Here is me in a video trying on glasses.
The series dropped and everyone realised who Jeffrey Dahmer was, and I was never let alone on that.
Oh no, like I don't even...
What? Someone approach you and talk about Dahmer apropos of nothing.
No, these were the glasses I was trying, and I said to Alex, are these a bit Dahmer? And they said, well, they proceeded to say that about Dahmer, and my friend Louise replied, sorry, I'm dying that even at Specsavers you're still talking about Jeffrey Dahmer. Also, she liked the glasses.
Good.
Do you think they're a bit Dahmer?
Let's see.
Those ones there.
Oh no, they're gorgeous.
Are they like... No, they're not. They're lovely.
See, they're similar to Dahmer, but they're lacking the bar across the brow.
If they were like aviation. They're not. They're just cute.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give you this Sherry Papini story, but Cass, do you want to lead us in?
Yeah, just I'm going to just plug this in.
Take your little time there.
There's a multi-plug there.
So we have been requested to someone tell this story. Many times. Finally.
Many times. Before we get into it, though, I want to talk briefly about... I was on, like, paranormal TikTok, which is a fun place. And I saw this video of a woman, and in the video, she's, like, just talking to camera, and then in the background, you hear someone go, Mel. And she's like, yeah, what? And then she was like, I'm on my own. And then she's like freaked out and she's looking around. Like, you can see it's quite genuine.
Could you hear Mel?
You can hear Mel. And she like instantly is like, what? Like, it's so natural. And then a couple of seconds later, you hear someone in the background be like, Melody. And she's like freaked out. And she's like, no, I'm here on my own. There's nobody else here. And she gets up and she starts looking. There's nobody else there, right? And then the comment sections are like, that's a mimic. So a mimic is like... The interesting thing about mimics is there's different names for these in different like languages and mythology. Basically, the idea that there is a ghost who mimics the voice or the behavior of someone. So in some mythology, they call them obviously doppelgangers. Irish, we have like changelings, and then just they become wildly known as mimics. So I was like, I need to get into some stories of people.
Can mimics be visual as well as...
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got this great example. So obviously straight to Reddit and was like, tell me the stories of... or like looking up people's stories. So this woman shared on Reddit. She said, around 15 years ago when both my kids were toddlers, I was putting them to bed one night and my son was adamant that he wear his favorite red race car pajamas. I happily obliged, helped him change and tucked him into bed. Then I sat down at the kitchen table with a friend who had come over to chat and catch up. The way that my apartment was set up, you could see my kid's bedroom doorway from the kitchen table. My friend and I were talking for a while before we were suddenly interrupted by the sound of my son screaming. We both turned and looked at the bedroom doorway and saw my son standing there loudly crying, wearing his green pajamas with airplanes on them. Everything inside of me screamed that this was wrong. The hair in the back of my neck stood up and a cold shiver ran down my spine. My friend and I wordlessly stared at each other for a second. We both knew that my son couldn't change his pajamas by himself. We looked back at the doorway and my son was gone. We ran into the bedroom and found him tucked in bed, still sleeping peacefully in his red race car pajamas. My friend then asked me if I saw him standing there in his green airplane pajamas and I confirmed that I had. She got so freaked out and left and I slept on my kid's bedroom floor that night to make sure nothing had happened to them.
Oh, I would get as far away from that kid as possible.
So would I. Even my own.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, no, 100%.
I've become frightened by my own children in the past.
Oh, yeah.
They could get creepy at night when they stalk you around the house. And you run from them.
And we all know about Sonny and the man.
Yes.
The man is by the ceiling.
Yeah, that one, really unpleasant. So there's a couple of other examples of like famous instances through history. One was from the famous German poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe in his autobiography Poetry and Truth. So he said that while he was traveling around the world to visit a young woman with whom he was having an affair, he at one point glanced up and spotted a man dressed in gold-trimmed grey suit. But as quickly as he looked up, the man had vanished. So several years later, while traveling on the same road, the poet realized he was wearing the same gold-trimmed grey suit he had seen on the vanishing man years beforehand. So he was his own doppelganger.
Or himself from the future.
Yeah, just weird incidences of stuff, right? Then there was a 32-year-old French school teacher in the 19th century. And one day, while she was writing on the blackboard in the classroom, her doppelganger appeared right beside her. 13 students in the class witnessed it. Their teacher's double standing right beside herself, copying each move she made precisely. The only difference was that the doppelganger didn't have any chalk in her hand. During the school year, the teacher's double was seen several times. The most amazing of these was when 42 students witnessed Emily working in the school's garden gathering flowers, yet her double suddenly appeared in a chair before them in the room in which they were sitting.
Oh my God.
Heads turned to and fro as they saw the teacher sitting in the chair and through the window at the same time.
What year was this again?
This is in the 18-something. But two of the girls approached the doppelganger in the chair, but they stated they felt a strange resistance in the air. Moments after their attempt, the image of Emily in the chair slowly disappeared. Then there's
42
more.
People in the room all seeing the same thing.
Yeah. There's another one of a more modern one. Where do I have it here? Oh, this one is freaky too. So this is another woman from 5 years ago saying that my husband saw my doppelganger in our hallway. We live in an old farmhouse and we had many paranormal and unexplained spirits, noises, etc. We've had paranormal investigators to our house and we are waiting on the report. Last night I was in the bathtub. My husband came into the bathroom to wash his hands and went back out to do the laundry. He was in the laundry room and looked through the kitchen and saw me in the hallway naked. He called my name and said she turned her face towards him and gave him a look like she didn't know who he was. Then she walked in behind a column and then their son came out from the other side asking who he was talking to. My husband came into the bathroom where he was still in the tub and he made her swear that she hadn't gotten out of the bathtub. He said he was freaked out and for the rest of the night made her follow him from room to room and announce ourselves if we were coming into a room where he was. Like, weird
that's
stories.
That's really creepy.
This is a fucked up thing happened in our house 2 nights ago. And nothing, it's a new house. Nothing ever straight. You're not freaked out by anything that goes on. And there's noises, it's attached to either side. There's noises all the time.
Someone could have died in the building.
Impossible.
I don't know.
Like someone building it could have died, sure, as was being built. How
exactly.
And ever.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, sorry. Yes, as it was being built. So did we get home late that night? We were both in late, babysitter, both kind of pissed, went to sleep. I had this vague memory of loads of thumping, hearing kind of like, bang, 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 but not getting up, which is classic.
Great.
So,
parenting.
Yeah. So in the morning, I got up first, went downstairs, and we have a massive mirror downstairs. in the hall. It's probably 6 feet high.
Mm.
And it's up on the wall, just a couple of feet, but it's mounted on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's heavy. And I have a 7 and a 5 year. No one can, they're not going to be able to lift that. So I come down in the morning and the mirror's off the wall and it's leaning against the wall opposite. And I was like, all right, well, Dan must have, I don't know what happened. Like, I'll ask him. He swears blind. It absolutely, he didn't touch the mirror last night and it was on the wall. When he got in, I got home first. My mum was babysitting. Mirror was there, normal.
Yeah.
My mum leaves. Dan gets in hours later, locked. He swears blind the mirror's there. Still don't know what the fuck. But it was lifted off its two hooks.
Yeah. Like, this is not falling.
Placed, like, on a slant, facing
and
out.
Mirrors are traditionally portals to other realms. As they say. So someone was coming in or out. It's
very strange.
Also, like, a mirror... Gone.
Yeah, because I have
a double. A mirror is a doppelganger, if you know what I mean.
That's like, true. Because I have cameras on the front door and camera in the back garden. So the
camera.
So the camera at the front door just showed Dan drunkenly stumbling in. Camera in the back garden went out between something like 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
It just dropped
out.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, it can happen.
But you're just casually like, that's fine. My house is a portal to another realm. And you're
it's chilling.
It's a hell mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, you can sense that as you enter anyway.
I can't believe you didn't tell me this story last night when I was walking past this very mirror.
I just kind of, we both decided it was really weird and
we forgot about it. Happened.
Yeah.
Okay. There is another one here. Again, more modern. I think it's 2005. This woman says, our friend Meg had a doppelganger experience at a haunted house she lived in as a child. One night when Meg was a teenager, she woke up to the sound of someone putting away the dishes in the kitchen. She got up, walked into the hallway and peeked out. She saw the kitchen lights were on and assumed her mother was awake and putting away the dishes. So Meg crept down the hallway into the living room as she neared the kitchen, her mother walked through the garage door and into the kitchen. She stopped dead in her tracks when she saw Meg. Meg still remembers exactly what her mother was wearing, her favorite jeans and a teal sweater. And she recalls her mother looking tired and gazing at Meg as if she didn't realize who she was. That's consistent across the stories. Meg asked Mom what's wrong and her mother suddenly looked panicked. Meg reached out to touch her and as she did so, her mother suddenly bent backwards and then ran off down the hallway to her bedroom. Meg ran after her.
Like this.
Well,
like
I'm assuming backwards. Bent backwards. Like, yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Her mother, she found her mother asleep in her bed wearing her nightgown, not jeans, and a sweater. So she tapped her mother on the side to wake her up. And when she did wake, she was very tired and asked Meg if she was all right. Meg asked her mother if she'd been sleeping long and her mother responded that she'd been sick at work, left early, came home and had actually been asleep for a few hours. So for whatever reason, Meg's moments in time and her mother's, the version of her mother that was in the kitchen, actually crossed paths. Perhaps it was an image from the past playing out for Meg. And for her mother's perspective, the one that was in the kitchen was actually a glimpse into the future.
The bending
the
backwards.
Image of that. Well, that's going in a horror story.
Love that.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous. And then I came across this interesting story, which I'm pretty sure I've touched upon at a live before, but I'll remind you briefly. I think I did this when we were down in Shankill. And this is the story of Bridget Cleary's murder in the 19th century in Ireland.
Go on.
I would say you more than touched on this.
We've done this extensively, have I?
Yeah. But also, it's a great story.
I'm just going to remind you of it.
Come on.
So this happened in... And it's a big growth for me to recognise that I'd done this story before, right? And actually
for
remember.
Us to remember.
Yeah,
well.
And to remember that I did the place where this took place.
Your red flag is always like, I came across this story and I can't believe I hadn't found it before. It's so me. And you proceed to tell a story for the second or third time.
Maybe third, maybe fourth. We've been going at this a long time.
All our toxic traits is not remembering previous
our own
stories.
Well, I have something to say to you after as well, because, but I'll get to that in a second. Just to remind you, this is a story about a 26-year-old woman called Bridget Cleary in 1895. Bridget Cleary was lived in Tipperary. She was unconventional in a sense in that she worked, she sold eggs, and she kind of stood out.
Girl boss.
Yeah, she was just someone who was like independent, which was strange for that time. Now, she was married.
Unproblematic girl boss.
Unproblematic girl boss. Just selling, you know, aloe vera gel that you swallow and makes you younger.
and workshops about environment. Workshops,
yeah. And if you just bring five more people into it, you get it. So Bridget was married to a man called Michael Cleary, and Michael became obsessed with the idea that she was a changeling. Obviously, in Irish mythology, a changeling is when fairies switch out traditionally children and replace them with another fantastic film starring Angelina Jolie called Changeling, where she really should have won the Oscar. And I still to this day
never recognize horror. It's a fucking conspiracy. Mm.
So what happened was
recognized.
Except for you, an award-winning horror author. So Bridget was intelligent, beautiful, independent, and in many ways fit the definition of this new woman, because of she was a dressmaker, a milliner, and sold eggs. And she largely could have supported herself, but was still married to Michael. Together, they were relatively well off and stood out a little bit in the community because of that. And many consider them, you know, a happy married couple. They had met in Clonmel. At the time, Bridget was 18, happy out. And then, you know, had kids and married or whatever. So by the time Bridget was 26 and Michael was 27, though, things had taken a slight turn. He became absolutely fixated on this idea that she had been switched out. And near their home was a fairy fort. Mm. You know, a place of mischief and... You don't cross
and
them.
Fucking dangerous.
Not to be fucked with.
You really don't. You really should not. never walk on one. And never
take a stone. Do you remember that story from one of our creeps? He went on a date with this guy from England who was doing a bit of building in the locale and told her just kind of casually that they'd found a kind of a rock formation and that he'd taken one of the rocks. And she was like, oh, well, I can never see you again.
Oh, that's it now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
done. Like, no, I think never. Their building work was plagued by
death.
Well, I was going to say planning bottles complaints.
Yeah.
So one day on the 4th of March, a Monday, Bridget returned from delivering eggs and was feeling unwell. She had like shivers. She was complaining about a raging pain in her head. And over the next few days, her condition worsened. So Bridget's father walked 4 miles in the rain to get the doctor, but the doctor couldn't come. Michael tried to get him again twice more. But before the doctor finally arrived, 9 days after Bridget had fallen ill, he diagnosed her with nervous excitement and slight bronchitis.
A bit of hysteria
for the women.
Oh, God.
And prescribed some medicine. But her condition was significantly bad. Enough that the priest came and gave Bridget her last rites, just in case. Michael became...
How unnerving would that be?
If you weren't dead.
If you weren't dead.
If you had just a bit of bronchitis.
And you were also just like, come on.
Whatever about not being dead,
stop
a headache.
Your hole.
Next time you get the shingles, Cassie. Yeah, yeah, the priest.
The last rites.
Just to be sure.
Do, actually. Send me off. Michael was becoming increasingly concerned for his wife's welfare and began to look for a supernatural cause for her illness. And claimed that Bridget, the sick Bridget, was 2 inches taller and too fine to be his wife.
Ah, that fine ass
Michael's
bitch.
Looking for an excuse.
Yeah. And a local storyteller who was big, like the Shan...
The local creep.
Shanky, the big on mythology, came in and said, it is not your wife that is there. So then Michael went to the local fairy doctor, Dennis Ganny, for a herbal cure. So that night, the men and other men came to the house and pinned her down. And Michael forced Bridget to drink this concoction of milk and herbs.
And the piss of 1,000 men.
Yeah, in fact, it's like a really bitter concoction. And he was saying, take it, you witch, or I'll kill you, to drive the fairy out. They did. They threw urine on her and they threatened her with a hot poker burning her forehead. Again and again, Michael questioned Bridget and was asking her, are you the wife of Michael Cleary? And she kept saying that she was.
So she's answering the fucking question, Michael.
Yeah. Jesus, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. She seemed to be wild, but by the end of the night and forcing her to drink this concoction and just like the exhaustion of it all, she seemed to be a bit more sedated. I mean, if people were throwing piss at you, you would just lay down and be like, enough's enough. Fine.
I am the fairy. What do you want from me?
But Michael was satisfied with the exorcism. And the next morning, for the first time in nearly 2 weeks, Bridget got dressed in her usual fashionable clothes. So that she could go out and, I mean, probably
what
just get
could
the
they
fuck
have been
out.
In Tipperary in the 1800s. No offence, Tip.
Yeah, just so they can get out. And she wanted to have tea with some relatives. But when Bridget turned around and asked Michael for some milk, Michael lost it because he said, fairies are said to crave fresh milk.
Michael is at the greatest arsehole that ever lived.
Yeah.
He was just waiting.
And isn't this is such a wonderful fight they have here. So Michael again is like on to Bridget being like, you're not Bridget, you're a changeling, you're a fairy. And she turns around and says, your mother used to go with the fairies. That's why you think I'm going with them. Which is just
sucks cock in hell.
A typical, before we had any, for international listeners, or maybe this is universal, but before we had any understanding of mental illness, we used to just say that people were away with the fairies, which just meant they were struggling and probably a little bit like in need of help and be like, oh no, they're away with the fairies.
We can't help them.
Don't go near them.
Nothing can help them now.
Actually do the opposite of what you should do to someone who's struggling, which is abandon them entirely
away.
And convince them that they're crazy.
Gaslight them. Others.
Yeah.
Don't forget the piss.
So Michael grew like raged and started forcing Bridget to try and eat several pieces of bread before he threw her to the ground. And then he grabbed a hot stick from the fire and set the fabric of her clothes on fire.
Her fashionable clothes.
One of his relatives was there and said, for the love of God, Michael, don't burn your wife. And he replied, she's not my wife. She's an older old deceiver sent in place of my wife.
It's Michael that's away with the fairies.
The irony that Michael's having some mental illness.
Oh, yeah. I know, but it's all on her. Now, sadly, setting her clothes on fire, Bridget died, did not survive that. And later that night, he buried her in a shallow grave about a quarter of a mile from the cottage. So Michael spent the next 3 nights waiting up at the fairy fort.
For what? Like for
the fairies to return his real wife.
Yours.
God,
at any moment he believed she would become galloping through the ring fort on a white horse. He cut her free, they'd return home together, you know, all would be well. But then before that could happen, obviously the authorities came.
Oh, because he'd murdered his wife.
Because he'd just murdered her.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody else. On Wednesday, the 20th of March, the police arrested 8 people for their involvement in Bridget's death. Yeah, because there had been people there the night before witnessing the abuse, and there was presumably people in the house. Well, obviously her relatives was in the house the day that he actually set her on fire. So a very public 2-day trial in July 1895. This was like a big international story for the time. Michael was charged with manslaughter. Jack Dunn, Patrick Boland, and 4 of Bridget's cousins also found guilty.
God love her.
Her own cousins.
Yeah.
It's just a bandwagon of excitement.
But it was
not
interesting
going on
because
in Tip back then.
Both Michael and Bridget were described as being very literate and well-educated people. So the kind of question was whether he truly believed that fairies had taken her, or whether he
was having a moment.
Yeah, he just wanted to kill her because she was this kind of independent new woman. So yeah, there's a wonderful book on that by a fantastic historian who I know called Angela Burke, and it is called
Michael.
Sorry.
Is it called
It's
that?
Called The Burning of Bridget Cleary.
Oh God, love Bridget.
By Angela Burke, and I'd say that's a fascinating read. Angela's a brilliant historian. But on a side note, I don't know if you've seen this. I was in the cinema. I went to see Poor Things. Would recommend. It's a tough watch, but would recommend.
Very sexy, is it?
Oh no, I don't think
it's not like it's not.
Okay.
She's got the mind of a child.
She's got the mind of a child. Jesus. It's kind of the first half of the film, you're about like, you're like, this is about paedophiles, just really just men and just their tendencies to take advantage of women. And then the second bit is kind of the enlightenment of,
I see, you're moving women through her life.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Emma Stone is fantastic and it's well worth the watch. But there is a new film coming out called Wicked Little Letters, starring Jessie Buckley and Olivia Colman, and it looks fantastic. Yeah. And it's based on the real life incident of the English seaside town of Littlehampton, where two women clashed over a series of sweary letters and not understanding where they were sent from. I've definitely done that story. I've done it like three times.
Absolutely amazing.
But and the film looks fucking sensational.
And you posted, thank you, by the way, you posted the bonus episode of the Desperately Ordinary Dave. Loads of people were in the DMs looking for it. I couldn't find it. So definitely.
Yeah, as we put it out there on the main feed.
Because I think that documentary is number one on Netflix.
Yeah. And we did it better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think the documentary made it clear just how desperately ordinary Dave was. Yeah. You needed to come in with that.
What's the doc called?
Stalker, lover, killer, lover, stalker, yes, killer, yeah. Killer, lover,
that's
stalker.
That's kind of giving Dave too much credit.
I agree. Like, it just absolutely is not a mastermind.
I started watching the first half, like the first bit of it. And I was like, they are really complimentary in their lighting here. And what the way they're making this guy out to be, like some sort of some stud.
Piece of
He's so normal. So we've put that out there. Thank up you, on Kat. The feed.
Okay, buckle in and let's return. Speaking of Netflix, right, the comment asking us to cover this case, which we never covered in depth, but we've definitely made reference to. Does the name Sherry Papini ring a bell?
Not at all.
Okay, well, this story definitely will. So the year, you know, my recently covered the American Nightmare story.
Yeah.
This case took place the same year. And Gone Girl came out 2 years before.
Mm.
So let's just place that in our collective psyche. And somebody wrote in saying, you've got to do this Sherry Papini case because American Nightmare is totally informed by what went down with the Sherry Papini case.
Mm.
So American Nightmare, you remember, there was kind of the police, Colonel Mustard, not taking this case seriously, believing the woman was not kidnapped and it was a hoax.
Yeah, that she hoaxed her own kidnapped.
Exactly.
And there was all kinds of crazy details, like the kidnappers were wearing wetsuits.
That's right,
and
yes.
Goggles?
But it turned
they put
out.
Goggles on her.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. She was telling the truth. So let's deal with this case. Around the same time, in the same country, but not same state. So we are in 2016 and we are Northern California. Jeez, we're both in California actually. So a mother who will become during this story known as like the world's best mom goes missing. She vanishes into thin air while jogging. So let me describe her.
What kind of age is she?
She is 34.
Okay.
She's petite. She has waist-length blonde hair.
Oh, it's a commitment.
Blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of Kylie Minogue-esque individual.
Wow.
Partially the reason that this garnered so much attention in the press is because she was
white
and attractive and looked like a kind of famous pop star.
Yeah.
And she was married to like a very handsome white man as well. So this is the timeline. She's she goes off on the jog, husband's gone to work, kids are in childcare.
Mm.
It comes to the time when the kids need collecting from childcare.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody shows up to collect them. The mother usually does.
Okay.
Sherry's a no-show. The dad gets a call on his phone and work from the creche. Look, where's Sherry? No sign of her. Will you come get the kids? He says, what the fuck is going on? This is very out of character. Highly strange. Husband beginning to panic. Calls his mum. Mum collects the kids. He goes straight back to the gaff. He's walking around the gaff. No sign of Sherry. Phone's ringing out. He's like, oh shit, wait a minute. I have that tracking app thing.
Ah,
it's 2016. These things exist.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll locate her phone. So he gets a hit on his app that the phone is down the end of the driveway, which is where all of the post things are in the States.
Yeah, they have like the post boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're mailboxes.
The mailbox. So he goes down there to the end of the road and he's like, there's her phone on the ground.
Only
that, she's wearing, she's got the headphones in that phone. They are tangled up around the phone and there's a clump of her blonde hair. Very, very visible. Oh. So
what a detail.
A very interesting detail. And we know that because he took a photo of the phone.
Okay, I'm going to need to bring up visual references for myself here.
He absolutely was immediately like, this is out of character. Sherry's been kidnapped. Right. So begins. I'm going to get like a, I want a proper timeline.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Line of events for us.
Sherry.
So it is
Papini.
So Keith's the husband's name. He works in Best Buy. He's a nice guy. He's like a sound tech for Best Buy. And the date is November 2nd when Sherry disappears, vanishes. He finds the phone, rings the police. There is so much content about this case available to watch and listen to. You can hear this call. There are hours of video interviews you could trawl through. I went through a good bit of them last night. So anyway, back in the case, he rings the police and he's very obviously a person who is not, who is telling the truth and is sincere. If you kind of relate this back to watching the case from American Nightmare, the case are unrelated, but it is, they're a good case study in comparison because they're identical individuals from the world's perspective. Mm. They're like middle class white couple, attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might remember from American Nightmare, the husband gets interviewed and it feels off.
But the thing is, right, and you see the clips in the documentary, he is reacting in exactly the way I would anticipate I would react if I knew I was innocent and started to freak out.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I need a lawyer. I'm not answering any more questions.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what you would do.
And Keith's the opposite.
Okay.
Keith's quite emotive, heart in his sleeve, no mention of a lawyer at any point. He's just like, we've got to find her.
Mm.
And everyone's on board.
Mm.
She's been kidnapped. 100%. It's what it's looking like. So he is in with the police. A gigantic search kicks off. Massive. The family, both Sherry's family and Keith's family, kind of pool together a bit of dough for, so they have about 10 grand, 10 or between 10 and 50 grand at one point for kind of help,
a reward
for information about her whereabouts. 3 or 4 days pass and this very unusual thing happens. Anonymous individual sets up a website, something like www.findsherrypapini.com, and puts forward an undisclosed amount of money for her safe arrival home or any information that leads to her safe arrival home. So there's various interviews done, like there's non-stop interviews from Keith and Keith's family and her family who are trying to get Sherry back, and they don't know who this anonymous
person is.
And also the family don't know how much. There's some suggestion it's, you know, six figure amount, but it's massive. So that's all ongoing. Consistent reports. 2020 did a whole hour show on with Keith interviewing him about Sherry, he talks about like...
Wow, while she was still missing.
While she was missing. While he talks about her, him with... They have two children.
Yeah.
They have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and 18-month-old. And he talks about like bringing the 2-year-old or the 3-year-old around. And he's like staring at pictures of his mum's picture, you know, missing. And he's like hugging on. It's really, really emotional and very frightening.
Now, so, I know this is a bit glib and just a very quick side note, but they do look like good contenders for siblings or dating.
Glib.
All the best couple to do.
They do. No, Jen, they don't.
They do.
He's a bit darker than her hair.
No, but look at the eyes and the nose and the mouth.
Big old mouth.
They have these really large mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mouth shame.
They actually have, both of them have quite like big features.
Mahoos.
Yeah. Big, yeah, but like in a very attractive way.
Oh yeah, they're a fine looking pair of people.
I think Jen, in fact, could be the third sibling there.
Oh, why, thank you. So time comes, so it is, there's a big push towards Thanksgiving. Get her back for Thanksgiving. You know, they're just looking for things. And would you believe Sherry appears?
Comes to Thanksgiving.
Sherry?
The lure of the turkey.
It's grim. So we're talking about a super busy highway. I think we're about 100 miles away from their home when reports start coming in from drivers along the highway that they're seeing a woman on the side of the highway trying to flag some car down. She seems like she's waving some white bit of cloth. Eventually, a man pulls over. And you hear the telephone call that he makes to the police. And it's, I've got a woman here. She is chained. She's in chains.
Fuck.
Sherry is in bits.
Oh, God.
Her waist long hair has been hacked off.
Oh.
She has a very obvious broken nose and swelling and bumps on her head, Jesus, and face. We don't know yet what's going on underneath her clothes, but she's wearing clothes. She has a big, huge chain around her waist. And attached to that waist chain is a separate chain that's attached to one around her wrist.
Oh, my God.
So she's in shreds. The driver picks her up. He's like, she's going to need an ambulance. She's identified herself as Sherry. Your man says it on the phone. Everyone's been looking for her. What do you call the person who receives the call?
Dispatcher?
The dispatcher's like immediately knows that who they're dealing with and sends off a ambulance to go pick her up. Now, let's just set the scene here. She's 150 miles south of her home. Her home's in Redding, California. She is with the police at this point. They are treating her for her series of facial bruises. They are kind of working their way through her body, you know, trying to figure out if she's okay and what kind of state she's in. She's also talking,
is she talking
a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So she has, as well as being beaten, she has this very unusual, she has been branded on the back of her right hand shoulder.
Oh my God.
Now, what was interesting at the time was that they didn't release, and they still haven't released, what the brand was.
Oh my God.
Because it was going to become part of the investigation.
Imagine it was Dick and Balls.
Oh, like, yeah.
Or that little S thing that everyone did.
Superman S. Yeah.
Horrendous, guys. Mm-hmm. Awful. Glib.
Okay.
Are we?
So that's the lay of the land. And she starts to tell a story. This is a story she would tell for 4 years.
Okay.
She arrives back. Keith's over the moon. She's home.
Aww.
The interviews begin. What the fuck happened to you? Her story is she headed out for the jog as she had planned to do. And a very large dark car screeched to a halt in front of her. And she was kidnapped by two Hispanic women.
And just broad daylight.
Broad daylight. She goes into... She talks about being hooded for the majority, being held captive. Sorry, she had been gone for 22 days.
Jesus.
She had also lost something like 20% of her body weight. She was a very slight person anyway. So she was fairly skeletal and in bad shape.
Yeah.
So she had the story she begun to tell was the perpetrators were two Hispanic women. She had been bundled into the back of a car and been driven for miles and miles and miles. She didn't know where she was. She'd been turfed into a house. She'd spent her time in total darkness. She'd been allowed to shower twice. And she had no idea who or why or what she was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
She talked weirdly. She talked so much. The interviews took place in the police station, but a ton of interviews took place in her home where they set up cameras. But presumably that's part of being like a victim, you know.
I guess it's the trauma, yeah.
Exactly. You're just going to go wherever she feels comfortable. And in each of those interviews, Keith was sat beside her. So she carries on to the story. So here she is back. It's Thanksgiving morning. She's back. She's in sweats, 34 years old. 150 miles south of where she had gone missing 22 days earlier, bound at the waist by a chain, and her left wrist was tethered with a zip tie. She had something called hose clamps fixed to her ankles. I'm not entirely sure what they are, but
I think they're those like silver things that like, yes. you tighten with the
With the literal hose. Yeah, yeah. But the Sasha County Sheriff's Office later described those clamps as pain compliance restraints. So the medical personnel also found that Sherry was, she was then taken to Woodland Memorial Hospital to testify, and then they discovered the branding on her shoulder.
And was she saying she'd been tortured?
She was, yes. Okay. She had she was saying that she had been beaten.
And raped?
No. Okay. Specifically, no.
Okay.
So she, that was her story. There was no sexual assault mentioned in any of the things. And I think it was mentioned in a documentary I watched that she hadn't reported it.
Okay.
So no is the answer to that. So the, obviously law enforcement took off and were like, right, well, we got to find these people. Highly unusual, by the way, to first of all, kidnap a middle-aged woman. Although they thought for a moment that she could have been a young girl.
Or mistaken. Yeah, yeah.
From behind. And they were like, okay, well, if two females kidnapped you, this could be sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So that was their sort of angle initially. She, where am I? They started to release sort of details of the case, some details, and immediately received over 1,000 tips. And obviously they went to nowhere. Not obvious, but nothing was kind of fitting. So the police released a couple of sketches of the female abductors as described by Sherry. But she had only their eyes, hair and sort of eyebrow area. She said they were wearing masks a lot of the time. So you've got two sort of, I'll just show you them to you there. Two sort of pencil sketches of two women.
Oh, one God, slightly very, older than the other. Very 90s eyebrows on the massive left there. There, I don't know, will there ever be any regrowth?
Yeah, I don't think there's any hope for that sketched woman. But luckily, those women don't exist. So, here's what happened. I'm not sure about the timeline of when they discovered this particular event. But Sherry is a fairly complex individual. And as the story and time begun to roll on, initially the police investigation was full force. This kidnapping event needs to be solved. We need to find out where she was taken. We need to find out who the fuck these people are. What was the intent? And why did they let you go?
Mm.
There was no, by the way, do you remember the bloody anonymous gigantic tip?
Yeah, the website.
So the second she got back, the website ceased to exist.
And no money.
No money. So they were like, well, if it was a ransom, like, would we not know about it?
Yeah.
Would the family not know? Like, they were also offering money.
Yeah.
So there was no contact made from the ransom. So they were like, well, it doesn't feel like a kidnapping in the traditional sense. So anyway, what was I saying before that?
The women.
So the
time rolled on.
As time rolled on, we began to kind of find out a little bit more about Sherry.
Mm.
Sherry was described by friends and neighbours, life and soul.
Okay.
Super mom.
They're always the life and soul. They're always lighting up rooms.
She was lighting up every fucking room she was in. Everybody loved her except her own parents.
If you two don't fucking say that I lit up every room, I'll kill you.
You can count
but that's going to be your own downfall. Stop lighting up rooms.
Yeah, take it down a notch.
Yeah.
So mom and dad hated her.
That she had a bit of, there was a bit of trouble in her teens. She spent a bit of time sleeping in the school gymnasium. There was scraps. Nothing massively of a big deal, but there was like, we don't talk anymore, kind of carry on.
Oh,
not only that, but she had, as we all did, a MySpace profile.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she was a bit of a, she liked a bit of fantasy writing.
Okay.
She was a little literary, and they came across a short story of hers all about an innocent victim getting bullied by the Hispanics.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Right? It was, she just had a thing about it, obviously. She fucking knew what was wrong with her. So they were like, this, look, coinkadink. We're not saying just because you wrote this fantasy story that you turn you this fantasy. We're, like, at no point was anyone suggesting that early doors. They were like, look, it just, and she, denial flat out. So you can watch this interaction. She's sitting on the chair in her family home and the police are like, well, look, we found this.
Yeah.
From your MySpace page. She's flat on it. Didn't write it.
Oh, didn't write it.
That wasn't me. She just did not, like, that's the foolish thing. You could be like, oh, that's just a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's an unfortunate coincidence. Completely own it.
Or she could be like, the Hispanics found my story and they came and tracked me down as revenge.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't do that. She was just blanket no. And you start seeing Keith shifting around in a chair. And you, as the interviews and the years rolled on, you can watch what looks like a sort of an uncomfortable individual man who is doing a bit of, like, it's, like, not only, like, Keith suffered greatly, right?
Absolutely.
He had two very small children and he thought his fucking wife was dead. And the whole world was watching them. And it was terrifying event.
So many people were probably pointing the finger at him.
Absolutely, Cass. And so, like, I'm sure over time as well, things got a bit draining and trying. Because the police, the case went cold.
Do you think
cold.
At any point he was like, oh, you're back. You know, I'm like, oh.
We've sort of buried you in the 22 days you were gone. We've sort of gotten into a bit of a vibe.
He would have gotten a sense of what freedom felt like anyway. You know?
I know, but he loved her. Definitely. He was mad about her. They were like sweethearts. But how and ever, 4 years pass. Case has gone cold. Like, it's an extremely long period of time. And it's also a long period of time to be asking the victim of a crime.
Do you think she's sitting at home as well being like, oh, that's grand?
Yeah.
Like, he's probably like, should we not follow up on who those two Hispanic people are?
Yeah.
And she's probably like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Cass, she's saying, I don't want them to get in trouble at this point. This is really interesting. So they get a call from the police and they have like, we need you both down the station. We've had a breakthrough on the case.
Oh.
Right. It's a long interview and they set it up. You can watch the whole thing. They set it up really interestingly. So Sherry's here and Keith's here and the two officers are across the table and they're both holding like stacks of paper.
Yeah.
So the interview kicks off and there's an acknowledgement that it's been a long, long time, Sherry, since the events happened. But we have had a breakthrough and we'd like you to put your eye over some of these images, seeing if it kind of tracks. Because we think we found the location of where you were held. They also tell Sherry that they've spoken to people who were in the house that she was held in that have confirmed she was there. Now, they're not letting any, it's sounding still like a breakthrough on the case.
Yeah.
Like from Keith's perspective, he grips both arms of the seats. His fist is in the air triumphantly. He's like, yes,
justice.
We've got them. You fucking cracked the case. Well done. And they ask two or three times whether Sherry would like to be alone for part of this conversation.
Okay.
Sherry is tightening up in the chair. Her hands are under her legs. She's kind of nodding towards Keith, but she's not showing any kind of excitement. She starts, they two police officers start to flip around pages and their images. And they're saying things like, is this, this looks like the room you described. They're bringing out the transcript of what she said initially. Because she described a room.
Yeah.
Like to the T, because she was somewhere.
Yeah.
She described a bathroom. She described a table on which she was branded on, which was the how the story went. They were like, these things line up.
And then the
she's like, yeah, ooh, I don't know. It's been a long time. I'm not sure that's exactly, that's not really looking Sherry. Familiar. Right? Sherry. The two police officers are like, okay, okay. I should say at this point as well that she had had DNA taken from her clothing when she arrived back. She had two DNA showed up, a man and a woman, but neither of them were a match for anything on the system.
Okay.
So the police are like, well, we have this DNA for future reference, but right now we don't know whose it is. Will we continue? So the police hold that in their back pocket.
Mm.
They're like, okay, Sherry, so you're saying you don't recognize this and you want Keith to still be here for the duration of this.
Oh,
we have
Sherry.
More information.
They're trying to save you from now, yourself, Sherry.
Can I ask, how, do the police at this point know that it's a hoax?
Yes.
And they're trying to set her up?
Yeah. Yeah. They have everything they need.
Okay.
They're sort of waiting for a confession.
Yeah.
They keep saying, like, this has been a long case. We've put a lot of resources into this. We have been down the road. We've interviewed. We have hundreds of hours of interview from you. It's been a really hard time. Sherry's shifting around her chair. Keith's like, yeah, it's been really hard. Like, where are the women? Like, let's go. Let's go get them.
Oh, Keith.
I know. So then she says, hey, so we've got this DNA and it's a match for one of... We found a woman that it's going to match. This is the DNA that came off her clothes when she was found.
Yeah.
Sherry breaks into, she breaks down. She says, I don't want this woman in trouble. This woman saved my life. Clever. She's like, I, you know.
Last night a DJ saved my life.
She's like, no, I don't want to get her.
Okay.
Right. Then he's like, what about the male DNA? And then the police officer asks for a final time, Sherry, one last chance. Do you want Keith to stay for this?
Oh, God.
Keith is like smelling a rat. You can tell by his
body
language.
I know, but you would be, if I was Keith, I'd be like, I am absolutely fucking staying in the room for this.
Oh, yeah. It is all falling apart before everyone's eyes. Keith's like, God help him. He had had four, like, torture and, like, you'd be driven demented. Keith divorced her like a hot second after this interview. And you know exactly, she had put him through the ringer. However, okay, so the police say, Keith, you're staying for this. Sherry, you're all right.
Yeah.
Because we have the evidence now that we know the second DNA that we found. And Sherry's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who? I wouldn't know who it is. I don't, there was no man. And the police are like, okay, well, there is a man. And it's James Rees.
She was fucking him.
He was her ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
So she hadn't seen James Rees in 10 years. There is no way his DNA could have been on there unless this is what she did.
Were they, wait, were they spoofing that it was his DNA or was it actually his DNA?
It was his DNA.
Okay.
They, first of all, they found, how did they get to him in the end? God, what was the connecting factor? Did they find a piece of communication on her device with him or some lead? They rang him.
Oh, yeah.
And he spilled the beans.
She
just said everything.
Do you think he was like, just totally checked out and had been following it and was like, when asked about it, he was like, yeah, she was with me.
No, she called him.
He was on a social media detox.
Yeah.
She was like, James, hi, remember me?
Yeah.
You always loved me. I'm in trouble. I need help. My husband's abusing me.
He comes. This is so Gone Girl.
Oh, it's fully Gone Girl. He rents a car.
Yeah, James is Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tony Award winning.
Mm.
He's renting a car. He's driving 150 miles. He's picking her up. She's lying down in the back seat of the car. And he's bringing her to his gaff.
Oh my God.
Now, he has people coming in and out of the gaff. He thinks he's protecting her. from her evil ex-husband. He is fully aware that there's a big manhunt for her.
Yeah.
She is, this is where trigger alert, it gets a bit sketchy, because she's hurting herself in a darkened room this entire time.
Jesus.
She's coming in and out because the police officers are like, she is in bits here. Like, what did you do to her? Okay, maybe we're trying to help, but how did she get her nose broken? He said she was begging. She had a hockey stick above her rim of her nose. And he was complicit. Like, he admitted that he was like pushing into it. Like, and then they were like, well, what about this branding?
But why? What is his reasoning for that? So that they made it look like they made it look like her husband was abusing her, so that she'd be taken more seriously. Is that the
Cassie,
logic?
It's really strange. I think she didn't talk to him too much. It felt like when you listen to that conversation with the police, are like, I know this was you. He was working a lot during that time. She was in his house. He had people coming in and out. He lived nearby his family. His family knew she was there as well. And she was kind of coming out. She was, from his perspective, I'm projecting here, but I would say he was like, look, she's going through a lot and she's processing.
Do you think, though, it could be possible that she hurt herself before calling him and was like, my husband's abusive?
That's what would make most sense.
The injuries were not in line with that. So some were slightly older bruises, but also Keith, like, she had seen everybody. She dropped the kids off at daycare that day. Like, she had nothing visibly yeah. wrong with her on the day she was kidnapped, in inverted quotes. So he also said, it's a bit smelly, right? I will admit. He was like, look, she asked me to like flick this hockey puck at her leg to create a bruise, and I did. But like, he branded her. It's not like,
what was the plan?
At what point do you think he was like,
no?
There's a rumor that was some sort of Bible verse or something, not a whole verse, but like, something related
Jesus
to the Bible.
Christ, because one of the theories, brand made specially.
He said he picked it up at some hobby store. Like, he went to buy it. He got it red hot. What? She was sitting opposite him. He was like, I don't want to do this. And she was like, do it. And he did it. It's still very, very weird.
Jesus.
So on and
it just, it really just goes to prove the point that men do not ask questions.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Cassie.
But also, just go back. So back into our interview room, and Keith is hearing that she has been,
yeah,
that the DNA belongs to James.
Yeah. And that James has confessed everything. That James has done a polygraph and it's all come back. He's telling the truth. Now, little did she know at the time that I don't think polygraphs are admissible.
No, they don't hold up, do they?
But she didn't know that. She refused to admit still. And Keith was like, I'm out. He must have smelled a rat to some degree. She had a kind of, I read something else about her as well, that she had a history of sort of spoofing about being abused by people. She, I think, had done herself a bit of damage in the face, head, neck and shoulders, and had said it was her mother, for instance. But that had been kind of disproven. So there was a bit of, like, it was sort of an on-brand action.
Mm.
Whether or not, you can't get into her mind. She's not well, really. You know, she's not a well person. But this just went way out of hand.
But this is mad. Like, how long was she with Keith? Like,
22
over
days.
No, sorry. Keith, oh, years. Years, like.
Years.
And, like, had children.
Mm-hmm.
And is, did and she have a job? Like, all
I don't
the kind
know
of appearances of a normal life? She fully had a house?
Full friendship gang, close to the family, both sides. Like, when she went missing, there was no shortage
apart
of people.
Apart from her parents.
Apart from, sorry, close to his family.
When who she had went been missing, so full up on Sherry's bullshit by then.
Oh my God.
They were just like, we're absolutely tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know though, like, God, I
so
mean,
this
even
guy,
leaving the phone and everything gives it a real ring of truth. Because if I was going to kidnap myself, I'd definitely want my phone too.
She had a burner phone.
Ah.
Yeah, so she
was missing the old scroll.
Totally, and it was
22 days.
Like, so she had full access. Grand, yeah. Like, she knew what was going on. Then again, the darkened room. So he was interviewed about, like, he just confessed everything. And he, like, people, everyone was like, well, who is this guy James? And like, who, like, what's the story? But if people spoke well about it, his uncle said he's the kind of person that would help anyone. I don't know, to achieve anything. Exactly. It's so strange.
How bizarre the ends are.
Look, he's just a chronic people pleaser by the sounds of it. God love him.
Exactly. Yeah. So then, oh God, man, then it.
We should play James, Sherry, Keith. Okay, Cassie's James.
James, Sherry, Keith.
I think I'm Keith and you're Sherry.
Oh yeah, I could do Sherry.
Yeah.
And force Cassie to break my nose. I think I could force you to break my nose, Cassie.
If it's what you wanted, your body, your choice.
Just so, love me. Please love me.
I'm trying to get up like what happened next, because obviously there was bloody war. Because the sheriff's office were like, well, we fucking have you now, Sherry. And you have wasted and spent all of this money and time. I was looking through what she eventually was prosecuted for, a couple of things. I'll get up her stuff here. But one of them was like mail fraud. And I was like, what the hell is that? But that actually came down to, so she received kind of a sizable sum from the US government. It's like a victim's fund.
Okay.
For, you know, counselling after the fact, etc. But that counted as mail fraud. And also lying to, you know, police officer, wasting police's time. Did she spend it about a year and a half in prison? Okay, the maximum sentence was 5 years in prison and $250,000. I don't think she served an entire sentence. But that is, if you imagine, Gone Girl 2014 release, the movie release. We're 2016 now, and simultaneously two kind of cases are going ahead.
Yeah.
The American Nightmare case, I can't remember your one's name, and Sherry Papini. And they both arrive back. Do you remember? Like, they both arrive home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
So, how fucked up. So, Sherry went on to, your man Keith divorced her and applied for full custody. And Sherry was then arrested.
4 years passed. Yeah. Does that mean like that it all came out in 2020?
2022. Yeah. It all, she was, I think, no prosecuted way. In 2022. Oh yeah, it was fucking years. Like, oh, the case had gone cold. She was gotten away with it until.
The amount of conversation she must have had in those 4 years where people are like concerned about her and been like, my God,
the attention, Cassie.
Oh my God.
It was mouth watering, I'm sure.
Absolute sympathy porn for her.
Oh God.
All I what I wouldn't give for someone giving a shit about me.
All you have to do
is self-kidnap.
Is self-kidnap and have one of your best friends break your nose.
You do have all the, I'll do it for you. You do have all, you're set up well for it. You light up a room.
Blonde and white.
Blonde and white.
Middle class.
We've pissed off so many people on the internet, I'm sure, with this podcast. God,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd be a good
we've got any number of kind of internet sleuths to take the case on board. They'd rat us out so quickly.
They would.
You wouldn't fucking get away because you'd be creeped wherever you go.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of that's the long and short of it.
I actually story. Think I'm probably the best one to fake my disappearance because I'm not even recognised when I'm standing next to the two of you.
That's a lie.
It is, you're not just a lie. Tall.
No one can. They your just, face. We were
beyond. We were at beyond the pale last year, and someone, the three of us were standing together, and someone came up and were like, "Are you Jen and Sophie from the Creep Type?" And I was
you were
like,
"Standing there,
they just yeah. thought that you your were face our was tall out of focus. Chaperone,
yeah,
yeah.
You were just two kids.
Your face was out of focus.
You were just two kids in a unless overcoat.
We forget the time that you guys were credited on the podcast for creating the Creep Type.
Amazing. Who was that?
Laura Whitmore's podcast on podcast. Laura Whitmore's
podcast on podcast, and she was like, "Oh Jesus, yeah, she's a new podcast out about true crime. Did you know that?
We've obviously inspired her. Well, you two have." Laura. You
anyway, that's us. If you want more, you know where to find us.
The story was bananas.
It's banana. I'm and sorry a for special not thanks to Michelle so
Barry.
Sorry, for Michelle,
alerting us to it.
Yeah, you were right. It's
as so you were good. Saying it, I remember it from the time we would have worked. I think I would have covered that on the
briefly, but on sometimes
the internet news desk.
Sometimes we miss things as they're happening. They just feel too current to do. The story hasn't been completed.
Yeah, yeah.
So come over, find us on patreon.com/thecreepdive for fucking 1,000. So 4,000 other episodes.
Bajillion.
3 years of weekly episodes is at least 100 and
I think it's longer than that. Didn't we start it in 2019?
Also, we should say that the patrons get gig release tickets early. They always sell them out. So that is the place to be. We'd love your support.
There's great chat. The comments box is always bopping.
We also just prefer them. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.